ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओ हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द एथ कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। गुणारणि छन्न चित् उष्मपाय तत्क्षोभ विस्फूर्जित मानसाय नैष्कर्म्य भावेन विवर्जितागम स्वयं प्रकाशाय नमस्करोमि। God, as the fire in Arani wood is covered, word to word translation, Guna, as the fire in Arani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literatures. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in their pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10.11, it is said, Tesham evanukampartham aham ajnanajam tamaha nashayamyatma bhavastho jnanadipena bhasvata. For a devotee who has taken the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart, the Lord gives spiritual enlightenment known as Jnanadeep by special mercy from within. This Jnanadeep is compared to the fire hidden within Arani wood. To perform fire sacrifices, great sages previously did not ignite a fire directly. The fire would be invoked from Arani wood. Similarly, all living entities are covered by the modes of material nature, and the fire of knowledge can be ignited only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one takes him within one's heart. Savai manah Krishna padaravinda yoho. If one takes seriously the lotus feet of Krishna, who is seated within one's heart, the Lord eradicates all ignorance. By the torch of knowledge, one immediately understands everything properly by the special mercy of the Lord and becomes self-realized. In other words, although a devotee may externally not be very well educated because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives him enlightenment from within. If the Lord gives enlightenment from within, how can one be in ignorance? Therefore, the allegation of the Mayavadis that the devotional path is for the unintelligent or uneducated is untrue. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarver gunes tatra samasate swaraha. If one becomes an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Lord, he automatically manifests all good qualities. Such a devotee is above the instructions of the Vedas. He is Paramahamsa. Even without going through the Vedic literature, a devotee becomes pure and enlightened by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, my Lord, the devotee says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees before I speak something on Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So, this is the episode of Gajendra's prayers. And we have to remember that Gajendra is an elephant. It's an elephant offering prayers. If there's a new devotee happening to be here, then they would be confused, you know. An elephant offering prayers, you know, sounds quite, you can say, like a comic, you know, like a mythology. How can an elephant offer prayers out of all the animals? I mean, out of all the living beings, elephants, who are not supposed to be very intelligent. But actually, I was just doing a research on elephants. And, you know, it is explained that amongst mammals, elephant is supposed to be the most intelligent. They have very sharp memory. And they have got... that's why if you see in circuses, they have these elephants, you know, to do various tricks. They stand on one leg, they have a ball, they play with the ball and everything. So elephants are very intelligent, but they are not that intelligent that they can offer prayers in Sanskrit. I mean, this goes you know, way out, far out. And this can be possible only because of the mercy of the Lord. This indicates that when there is Lord's mercy, then even an animal can actually begin to speak wonderful prayers in Sanskrit. And prayers which even highly educated people will sleep probably reading all these three chapters, second, third and fourth chapters, all Gajendra's prayers. Prayers which even human beings today can't understand. Very elaborate glorification of the Lord in an elephant's body. So he speaks various wonderful philosophy in this verse. So before we go into this, you know, I just wanted to share with you one story which I have heard about elephant, a great devotee elephant. Because from a childhood I used to visit every year this Guru Ayurappan temple, you know, in South India, Guru Ayurappan. So there was two very wonderful elephants there, Padmanabhan and Gajarajan Keshavan. Very nice elephants, devotee elephants. So this Gajarajan Keshavan, he was donated to the temple, Guru Ayur temple, when he was 11 years old. And generally elephants, they live up to 60 years. That's their average lifespan. There are two kinds of elephants, most popular, like the African elephants and the Asian elephants. The African elephants, they are bigger in size. They're around 7 tons. They weigh 7 tons. And the Asian elephants are a little smaller in size. So they are like the Asian elephant breed, Keshavan. His name was Keshavan, and he was 11 when he was gifted to the temple. And in 1922, this happened, he was there. So he was eventually trained to take the Lord's procession on his head, the altar, the Utsav Murthy of Guru Ayurappan on his head. So he would take him and he would go for Pradakshina around the temple. In the temple complex, they had the Pradakshina route. So they would mount the Utsav Murthy on the head and he would go around like that. So he manifested so much of devotion, so much eagerness to serve the Lord, even though he was in the elephant's body. It is explained that when he would be chained up and it would be time for him for taking the Lord on his head, he would start tugging on the chain, you know, showing his eagerness that I want to do this service, you know, I want to do this. So being in an elephant, and he was so eager that he would not tolerate any other elephant carrying the Utsav Murthy. He would start fighting with them and, you know, pushing them aside. And I would carry it. And when he would carry the Utsav Murthy, you know, he would stand, you know, very high like this. All the elephants would look dwarfed by his posture. He would stand with great gravity and with pride, you know, like, so like that. So that was his eagerness to serve the Lord. So he was so dedicated in service that he would fast on Ekadashis. He would not eat anything on Ekadashis. And elephants, as you may be knowing, that, you know, they are they like bananas, plantain bananas, they like them. So even when that is offered to him on an Ekadashi, he would not eat it. He would observe fast. So that was his nature, like that. He knows it. Quite amazing, isn't it? I mean, they also observe. They're intelligent, as I said, you know. They're not dumb. Like, they're observing that it is Ekadashi. The rituals of Ekadashi are different in the temple. So, they know it. They're very intelligent. They're observant. They learn. And things like that. So, do not eat. And once he went kind of crazy in the temple. You know, he went mad. And he started running everywhere around the temple. There are thousands of people in the temple and he started running and running. But he was so gentle in his behavior, being an elephant, that he never would harm anyone. And while he was running around maddened, one child happened to cross the path of the elephant, you know, leaving the company of the parents. And he, on his track, while he was running, he stopped there immediately to give way to the, for the child to pass. And the child passed and then went like this. There was also another incident. Once he was tied, he was taken to another place where some, you know, villagers were living. And one lady's small child wandered off and went towards this elephant and started playing under next to the feet of this elephant. So this elephant was so gentle, you know, because generally elephants, they can't stand still. They keep, you know, moving like this, keep moving their hand, legs like that, and tail and trunk and the ears like that. So when he came to know that this small child is next to his feet, he froze. He froze completely, and he was having a huge bark of that banana leaves, you know, in his huge. So he was holding it in his trunk, and he just froze there in that situation, because he couldn't see where the child was, you know, between his legs. So he thought if he would place his leg somewhere, he would end up crushing the child. So he was just silent. And the lady came to know that, you know, where is my child? So she came outside, and she found her child is between the legs of the elephant. She started screaming. And the elephant, for I don't know how many hours or minutes, he was just standing there waiting for this lady to come and take her, but she was too scared to go there. And then finally the mahouts, you know, the caretakers of the elephant, they came to know something is wrong. So they immediately came running and took the child and gave it to the parents. So he was so understanding. He was a Vaishnav. He was servant of the Lord. And like that, and sometimes he would manifest some laziness also. Like, for example, he would be taken to various festivals, you know, for carrying the Lord on his head. But one day he was being taken to carry some logs. He was on the way. He had walked a long distance. On the way, some people recognized, oh, he's a famous Gajarajan, Keshavan. So they started asking the mahouts, where is he? Where are you taking him? So they said, oh, we are taking him for carrying these logs of wood from here to there. So when he heard that they're using me for carrying logs of wood, he immediately turned back and started walking back. He said, I meant for carrying the Lord. I'm not here for, you know. So that was his mood. He thought he's meant for Lord's service, not for. So he went, and he didn't reach back, but he stopped on the way. And some people saw him and they started feeding him. And for many days he stayed there and received the, you know, kind reception of those hosts there. He was standing there for some time. So from 1922 to for 50 years, 1972, he served Guru Vairappan, carrying it on the head. And then finally, the time came for him to leave his body. And at that time, he was called to the temple for again carrying the Utsav Murti. He kept it on, it was kept on the head, and his body started trembling, and he couldn't take it all of a sudden. So then the Mahouts took him outside the temple, and he wouldn't allow any doctor to come. It was Navami day, the Navami, ninth day of the waxing moon or the waning moon, one of the two. And he was just standing still, absolutely still, just gazing towards the temple, as if he's meditating on the Supreme Lord. And he would not eat anything. He would not allow any doctors to come close to him to administer some medicines. He was just simply gazing without eating, without having anyone come next to him. And finally, on the Ekadashi day, on Guruvayur Ekadashi day, on the day when Lord Krishna showed the Vishwarup Darshan to Krishna, it was an Ekadashi day. On that day, he came before the temple, and when the altar opened, for the first time in 2 days, he took a sip of water. And he collected in a snout, and he poured it like you do Abhishek for the Lord, like that. So he poured it as an Abhishek for the Lord, and he offered obeisances. He came down on his knees, and he raised his trunk to offer his last obeisances to Lord Guruvayur. And then collapsed and he died. Ekadashi. So because of his service, he was, you know, I mean, to commemorate his service, they kept his tusks on the entrance of the temple. Huge tusks were kept. Even today, if you go, you can see in Guruvayur temple, his tusks are kept there. They gave him a plaque. They put a plaque on his head. When 50 years was completed, a little above 50 years, he rendered service. So gave him a plaque, a gold plaque on his head. You know, they have this, all those decorations with wonderful ornamentary and all that. And they put that, you know, Gajraj and Keshavan. They gave him the title Gajraj, the king of elephants, Keshavan. So like that. So we can see that Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. As it is explained here, Gajendra, king of elephants, is praying that by the mercy of the Lord, even an elephant can actually start rendering service and, you know, become Krishna conscious. It's like that. It's quite amazing, isn't it? I mean, the mercy of the Lord is extending towards the animals also. So Krishna consciousness is really very wonderful. So, I mean, just for those devotees who do not know much about Guruvayur temple, I would just like to give a little brief about it. Because everyone sometimes, you know, they are wondering, what is this Guruvayur and things like that. So this temple, I visited last year. It is a very beautiful temple, Krishna temple. And the deity is Krishna deity, who was worshipped by Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha personally. And he gave the deity to Brahma. And Brahma handed it over to Sutapas, and then Sutapas handed it over to Kashyap, Kashyap to Vasudev, Krishna's own father. And it was handed to Krishna, and Krishna used to worship it in Dwarka. His own deity used to worship in Dwarka. And when the Dwarka submerged in the water, at that time Krishna had told in advance that this deity will manifest. He told Uddhav that you bring Brihaspati and tell him that when the deity manifests, you should install it at a very nice place, sacred place. So at that time, Uddhav comes there, he takes the deity, and Brihaspati is given the charge of installing that deity in a nice sacred place. So what happens was, Brihaspati is the guru of the demigods. So therefore, the Guru Vayur comes from that word, guru. And he, along with Vayu, they both go and search for a suitable place for installing. And they come across this Rudra Tirth, where Lord Shiva was performing tapasya. So Lord Shiva welcomes him. In fact, Parshuram comes there and he says, I will lead you to a good place, and takes him to Rudra Tirth, where Lord Shiva was performing tapasya. So Lord Shiva manifests himself and welcomes him, says that this is a very wonderful place to install this deity. I was doing tapasya here, and this is the same place where I gave the Rudra Gitam to the Prachetas, sons of Prachinabari. So you install it here, and this is a very, I will move to another place. So that place was there. So Brihaspati, along with Vayu, they performed the installation at that place. So therefore it is called as Guru Vayur. And Lord Shiva was very pleased by the installation, and he said, I will name this place after you two. So therefore that place is known as Guru Vayur. And the Lord is known as Guru Vayur Appan, the Lord of that place, like that. So very nice history. So in this same place, very wonderful pastime has taken place, which I would like to again share with some of you, all of you, is of Melputtur and Puntanam. Sorry, I may make mistakes in, you know, pronouncing these names. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it, but Melputtur. Narayan Bhattatiri, his name was, but he's known as more popularly as Melputtur. So this Melputtur, he was a great erudite scholar. He was learned in Mimamsa and Rig Veda and Vyakarana and Tarka and all these things. He was born in an erudite, learned Brahmin family. So he was very proud of his learning. And it was he who composed the very famous Narayaniyam, which the Malayalis, they read. It's very famous in southern Kerala. So he had composed it. But there's a history behind how this came to be. So there's a place in Guruvayur temple, if you go, there's a mandapam, a raised dais, where he sits, he sat and he composed. This was in 1560. Alright? So when he was composing, there was a devotee of the Lord who was not from a high caste family, but he was a nice devotee. His name was Puntanam. So he also composed one, he had a composition in Malayalam language, called as Jnanappan. Jnanappan or something. Again, now please forgive me if I'm not pronouncing this properly. Mukund Malaprabhu maybe can correct me if I'm wrong, but Jnanappan, you know, it's called, he composed it. So he went to Melputtur and he said that, please, you know, be merciful on me and just edit this work of mine. You're a scholar, so please. So Melputtur was very proud of his learning and he said, what? Malayalam language? Vulgar language. I only compose Sanskrit and I don't go down into all these things. So he offended him like that. So he kept it as feet and he said, no, I'm not going to do this editing and all this rubbish. So he offended. So then he, you know, readied himself and prepared for his writing. And a miracle took place again. He lost inspiration. He couldn't compose. There was nothing coming in his mind. He lost inspiration. He couldn't compose anything. One verse also he couldn't compose. Seeing what's happening, what's wrong? Completely confused. And scratching his head. At that time, one small boy comes there. A beautiful looking Brahmin boy comes there. And he makes friendship with him. And he says, so what are you doing? So he said, I'm trying to compose something in Sanskrit. Oh, is it? Can I have a look at it? And he looks at it and, so, but there are so many mistakes in this. So, mistakes? You're a small boy. Yeah, but I can see so many grammatical mistakes. And he takes out so many mistakes from his compositions. And this Melputtur, who was so proud of his, you know, grammar and all that, he was completely humbled because a small child is taking out faults. You know, no one likes to... People feel offended when you tell them that you're wrong, you know. And he was a great scholar and a small child is coming to him and he was like completely devastated. First of all, he was not getting inspiration. He was in a bad mood. On top of that, another boy comes there and finds out faults with him. He was completely humbled. And in that humbled state, you know, he could actually perceive what the reality was. He had offended a great Vaishnava, Poonsanam, and then he begged forgiveness from the Lord. He went to Poonsanam and he said, please, I beg forgiveness. Give me your work, I will edit it. I want to edit it, I'll take inspiration from your work. And he reads the whole composition of Poonsanam and imbibes a spirit of devotion from that work and then composes Narayanam. So that means the Narayanam is his inspiration from Poonsanam. Only then he could actually compose properly, and so many people are reading that book. So again, here as it is explained, that the fire of knowledge is kindled by the Lord within one's heart, by the Lord. One can get bookish knowledge. One can actually mug up the verses and, you know, be expert in this and that and every aspect of the Vedas. But the real knowledge of the Sambandha Gyan, you know, Abhidheya and Prayojan, that can actually come to realize only when Krishna will kindle that, as it is explained. The fire within the wood, Arani wood, is manifested when you chant mantras. Just like that, the knowledge is within, but it will only be manifested when Krishna is pleased by our attitude. So here we can see in Melputtur's case, very nice. So therefore, it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is quoted by Lochan Das Thakur. He says a nice verse. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching his Gurukul children, his students, you know, grammar students, and he chanted one verse. He says, Vyadhasya charanam dhruvasya cha vayo vidya gajendrasya ka kubjayaha kim naam rupam adhikam kim tat sudhamno dhanam vamsaha ko vidurasya yadava pater ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalam nacha gunair bhakti priyo madhava. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is